Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Marquee game of the night in the National Basketball Association. Nets lead the Bulls right now, about 5 minutes to go before halftime. 53-47, James Harden with 14, KD has 10, Kyrie Irving is scoreless in 12 minutes for the Nets. Meanwhile, for the Bulls, no surprise, two top 10 scorers, DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, 11 and 10 points apiece for the Bulls. Look, these are the two best teams in the East right now. This would be what you would say right now. This could be an Eastern Conference Finals preview right now.
I hate you. I'm going to jump down the line and choke you out right now.
This is an Eastern Conference Finals preview. You have the top two teams here. Clearly, it's going to be the best. No, look, these are the top two teams. The Bulls have been the best team in the East for a while now. They got a three-game lead on the Nets. It's interesting. This is what I'm most interested about to see this game, is now to see the Nets with their big three and how this is going to go against a team that has been red hot, that has had their way with the rest of the NBA for a little bit. Can the Nets rise up? Because that's what the Nets are all about, right? It's not about can the Nets rise up in big games and get enough? Because KD seems to be that guy at this point in his career where I'm always going to have a little bit something extra for a big game. Can the Nets give you that big effort to show, hey, we can have sustained success against some of the best teams? That's the most interesting thing I'm looking for in this one.
Yeah, I just want to see them play together, right? Just try to see about who's taking shots in big situations. It's just always default to KD, because obviously Harden's had his struggles, and they're still trying to figure out what Kyrie Irving is at this point in terms of his wind, and he's been banged up a little bit, even just coming back, right? Trying to get the legs under him. So that, the rotations, and for the Bulls, here's a big marquee spot, very odd start time in Chicago. We're talking after 9 p.m. local time. That's weird, right? And when it say, hey, coming up the second part of our doubleheader from the central time zone, you're like, wait, what? But opportunities to showcase, you know, one of your big city squads that's relevant for the first time other than that Derrick Rose MVP year in a long, long time. Right, some big names and big personalities. Billy Donovan getting some run and some love now as an NBA coach. So, yeah, it's a curiosity.
Well, it's more than that, because just think about this for a second when I tell you about the Nets. You're going to go, oh, my God, are you kidding me? The Nets haven't beaten a team that you could say is, quote, good all season.
Yeah.
Okay, all season. Here are the Nets' losses, right? And I'm saying the good teams are the top four teams in the West, and you're looking at the top two or three teams in the East. Talking about the Bucks and the Bulls, right? Here are their losses this year. All right, they've played Milwaukee, they lost. They played Memphis, they lost. Right, those last two recent losses. They lost to Chicago last time they played them. They lost to Phoenix. They lost to Golden State. They lost to Chicago way back in November. They've lost to everybody. They lost to Milwaukee to open the season. The Nets have not really beaten anybody that's really good, right? You could say is beating the Sixers, hey, they've turned their season around a bit, but is that a great win? No, they don't really have any signature wins on the year. So this is where I kind of want to see something from the Nets out of this game.
Oh, you're calling them bum slayers.
Listen, most of the NBA is terrible, but yeah, if you're a good team, you have to win at least one of those games against the teams that's good.
And that's the beauty of the NBA. You, until the playoffs, you really don't. You can go through. I mean, like, as long as you're into the tournament, the rest of it then plays out from there, right? Get your combinations, get your minutes, make sure everybody's healthy, and let's go to work when it matters. It is a curious thing, just the way the schedule works and the ins and outs of how these teams operate, and certainly for the Nets, much like we talk about the Lakers. You know, as much as there's a lot of hand-wringing over the Lakers, as long as they get into the dance, then we see what they're all about, right? It's the 82-game exhibition. I know people hate to say that, you know, hate to hear that, I should say, and they get all territorial. It's like, you hate the NBA. I'm like, no, I'm just a realist when it comes down to it. Is that there's a, yes, seeding has some value in home court advantage. I get it. Yeah, that's better for the owners. And a little bit of comfort of sleeping in your own bed. I guess you give that a little bit of a tick. But does it have that bit much juice? I don't think it does. I really don't. But it's the idea that you just need to be able to get in to the second season, and then you shorten it up. Like we argued with the and talked about with the Lakers yesterday. It's like, I'm curious to watch game to game, the ebb and flow of how things happen. And right now, a 9-point lead on Sacramento as they get ready for the half. But in the end, as long as guys are upright and ready to play, I kind of am curious to see them when it comes to a series versus one-off games after a little bit of travel. Hey, you really feel like going tonight? Nah, maybe. Yeah, I'll run, but I mean, I listened to a little bit of Frank Vogel in the pregame and talking about, you know, Carmelo Anthony coming into tonight. He'd been, you know, one of two guys along with Russ that had played in every game, and talking about the old school kind of idea of those two and LeBron James. And that's all fine and good. That's great. It doesn't matter. Right? It just doesn't. Get me to April, and then we'll be ready to go. And I know, think of the children when you're on the road.
Oh, but you got to beat somebody good. At some point, you got one game by accident.
But they're in second place in the conference,
that's
and they haven't
the
beat
vast
anybody.
The majority of the NBA stinks, but there's still a handful of good teams.
It doesn't matter. Look,
their
you're,
best
now
win
you're
is
getting
against Philadelphia.
Yeah, you're getting into specificity that nobody cares about. They're the number two seed.
Wait. You're the guy who for 9 years has been, they're bum slayers. I don't like them. I had a sandwich board I wore saying they're bum slayers. I've said that.
Oh, no, I'm
going to
agree with
you.
No,
word is bum
slayers. I'll say it right here with you. I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying
board.
It doesn't matter right
sandwich
now.
Sandwich board.
That's
sandwich
all I'm saying. I'm happy to wear a sandwich board. Hell, Super Bowl's coming to town. I'll be promoting the hell out of the show all over the damn town.
Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. So right now, again, it is a Nets lead right now over the Chicago Bulls. About 2.5 to go before halftime, 57-51. The Nets in search of their first signature win of the season. So good luck.
I just like the way you're mocking them now. You're going to hang
luck.
On that. They've beaten nobodies.
They haven't.
See, that matters to me in the NFL because eventually you get exposed because it's a short sample size. Right? Like some of the teams now, it's like you're going into the playoffs going, I don't know. With the 82 games of a regular season, can you guys say you were really trying most of the 82? It's like, how about we finish? No, you were more talented with your three top guys and a couple of your role players. But did you really, really care about where you were seated? No.
Nah. Twitter and how about a Fresca? Mike at Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Carmen. All right, so we'll have more NBA on the way, but looking ahead at this week in the NFL, right? We're getting to the point where, you know, at the midway point of the week, we're going to start previewing the games and talking about them. We have more on the potential upsets coming up in about 10 minutes, but you know what this season in the NFL has taught us, as now the dust is settling from the end of the regular season, we're looking into the playoffs, we have the extra playoff team, there we have the Monday night playoff game. We have just the one team with a bye. Things are different now in the NFL than they were with the additional game and the additional week. And what this did, if you think about how the NFL went over the course of the last month, is the extra game, and it's just one game, all right? They only added one game. This is not five games. They only added one game. And that, just by adding that one game, that turned the NFL into Major League Baseball. by that is because in Major League Baseball, what do you need to do to make the playoffs? You just got to stay 500 until sometime late in August and then make a run in September and boom, you're in the playoffs. You're in as a wild card. You can get hot. You can win. Look at the Braves. They were dead from the neck up until after the trade deadline. They were terrible. And suddenly there they go. And now the Braves win the World Series. Okay. This is what happens. Just adding that one game, not everybody is going to have a good record, right? It's a little bit more watered down, but this keeps more teams alive in it. Look in the AFC. Coming down to the last week, you had Indianapolis, the Chargers, the Raiders were all 9-7. In the NFC, you had San Francisco at 9-7, New Orleans at 8-8. Up until 2 weeks before the end of the regular season, Washington was still in it, Minnesota was still in it, Atlanta was all in it. In the AFC, everybody except for the Jets and the Texans and the Jaguars were all in the playoff mix to some point the last couple of games. And that's a big deal. I mean, that's a big change the NFL needed on their landscape, because now if your team stinks, everybody pulls the plug on their season much earlier. There's better things to do. I don't need to watch my team on a Sunday if my fantasy team is not doing well. But just the fact that you're adding the week, you're adding a game, and you're adding a playoff spot, all you got to do is be around 500. And be there. And even if you're under, you can still have great playoff hopes. Look at the Colts. They started out terribly in most seasons. I don't know. Nope. They're all the way there. They can make it all the way back to the end. Suddenly, 0-2 is not the NFL death sentence that it used to be when you start 0-2, you're not making the playoffs. Now you can be 0-3, and it's, hey, we've got to get a win here and get back going. Everything has been extended. And I know it just seems like it's one game. I mean, it is one game. But it just seems like it. But it just means so much more for the rest of the league that now NFL teams understand, all right, we don't need to ride every week of momentum as if this week is the greatest in the world, this week is bad. Just keep that even keel. If we're sitting there, if we're 6-7, 7-7, 8-7, 8-7 now, you can basically walk into the last week of the regular season and control the last 2 weeks, control your own destiny. If you're 8-7, instead of at 8-7, normally it's, boy, we're 8-7, we need all kinds of help, right? We need a win, and we need a tie, and we need one team to win by 30, and one team to, you need all kinds of stuff. But now if you're 8-7, you go into those final couple weeks, hey, we won our last two games, we're in the playoffs, 10-7 is getting us in. So it's, just think about, just from that perspective of, boy, 8-7, it's been a great year, it's been a lot of ups and downs, we've won some big games, we lost some heartbreakers, and boy, we need help to get in, but at least the last week might be somewhat interesting. To, hey, 8-7, hey, let's take care of business, man. We can get in the playoffs, man. We control our own destiny. That just that one game is a world of difference.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the tweaks to the schedule help. I think there was perhaps too much backloading of divisional games, particularly given all the normal attrition due to injury, then add the protocols and guys missing games along, and then, well, changing the rules in season. That's a whole other discussion point for another time, of players missing early in the season and then later on, like the aforementioned Carson Wentz being able to play, right, when he was in the protocols fast. But to your point, if you're hovering around 500, you have a chance. The Colts, normally, what is it, 14%, I think, has been indelibly etched into my brain. It was a 14% clip. If you started 0-2, your odds to make the playoffs thereafter. Well, you go on a run and things happen to at least give yourself a puncher's chance. You know, sticking the ball into the gut of Jonathan Taylor behind a good offensive line, and away you go. But cities across the league, except for, well, Jacksonville or your Jets, but you're still looking at divisional matchups, trying to pull an upset, being the thorn in the side. And in the case where you're a bottom feeder, odds are you didn't make a miraculous one-year turnaround, which means there's still just the intrigue of what's being shown by all the young players at the end of the season. You may not want to go, and we certainly saw a number of tickets available under $10 in numerous cities for Week 18. So that's a little nerve-wracking, but those tickets are still sold, and the television numbers are still great because people decided to just shout at them from their televisions, from their couches, at their TVs, instead of going in person and hanging out. So I like the addition of it. I think eventually we get that 18th, you know, game to things. Then we get a second bye week, and then we start a whole other cycle of things. But I think it kept people interested, and even where the speculation of a lot of firings, you know, you still have the opportunity to play yourself in or out with maybe one big upset, one swing.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, The Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Oh!
Early in the third quarter, Lakers with the 67-64 lead over the Kings. LeBron has 17. Malik Monk. I'm sorry. 2021-2022 NBA MVP Malik Monk has 12. Meanwhile, for the Sacramento Kings, you got Fox with 16. Buddy Hield only has 2 points in 13 minutes, but it doesn't matter. He will trend on social media at some point late in the second half. Oh, the Lakers only had Buddy Hield. That's going to happen. So we'll keep you updated on this game throughout the night. Meanwhile, Mike Harmon's Bulls now trail the Nets just by 2 at halftime.
Bulls.
62-60. The Bulls in an NBA Eastern Conference Finals preview. Oh, Mike.
Yeah, but look at all that offense.
I know you love it.
The Nets shoot 50% from the field in the first half. The Bulls at 52.4. Let's get it on.
Yeah, we got a lot of hope you had the over on this one.
Yeah,
so looking ahead at this weekend in the NFL, I really could make a case where I could see all six teams winning that are the underdogs. I could see six dogs
all
winning
six
this weekend. But there's different shades of that possibility, right? Like, I could see all six teams win. So let's do this. I'll rank the teams from least likely to pull an upset to most likely.
All right, let's see if we match up.
Okay, let's see from most likely to least likely. All right, now the least likely upset, and this is going to shock you right now, the least likely upset is going to be, is the Raiders beating Cincinnati.
Wow, look at you. The least likely.
Least likely. Look, I know everybody is on the Raiders right now. They had the big emotional win on Sunday night. I get it. The Raiders are a solid team. They won 4-0. They won 4-0 to end the season. They usually find a way. They're balanced. But after that emotional win, the way they played, they're going to get a bit of a bounce, right? Cincinnati is too dynamic. Their offense is too hot. They're playing at home. They've been waiting for a game like this for a while. Joe Burrow has been terrific. Wow. The offense is great. This is a game where I can see the Bengals getting out 17-0, and the rest of the game is just we're playing out the rest of the quarters. Cincinnati's defense has raised to the level they needed to in big games over the course of the season. We've seen games where, boy, this is going to be a tough one, and suddenly you go, wow, Cincinnati's defense was really good. This looks like to be one of those games. The Raiders are good enough to win, but obviously I could see their situations where being the Raiders can win, but as far as this one, I think this is the least likely.
Yeah, I think it's they're certainly near the bottom for me here. I mean, you look at what Josh Jacobs was able to do, the run game really coming up strong. Sorry, Frostburg, and taking advantage of what was a porous defensive front in that regard for the Chargers much of the year. Derek Carr with a couple of big throws when necessary. Look, if Zay Jones could catch, sorry, I got to say it, then they would have had a couple of big plays in the offing as well that would have been completed. And we could say that with most games. But here, it was a spotlight game. So, yeah, we put the spotlight on it here. But Hunter Renfro's been fantastic. Keeping an eye on Darren Waller during the practice week. And obviously Joe Burrow, because of the knee injury. I know he had the week off. He's a full participant thus far. I'm just curious if there's anything lingering there as to what we see, right? Or will we have to see them go to the well at some point if he's having some mobility issues?
Number five, I can see this upset happening, but it's really risky. I can see the Niners beating the Cowboys, but I'm just not in on
that
the Niners
low?
Being big enough. Yeah, because it all depends on how the game begins. Look, the Cowboys are playing at home. Their offense is so dynamic, right? When they get going, they get going. If the Niners can get out of the first quarter and into the second quarter and it's a tight game, game, or they have the lead, or they get out like 10-0 in this game, then I'll say they, and this is what I can see, because I could see that happening for San Francisco. I could see Dallas misfiring. I can see them not playing well, and I can see San Francisco, who's pretty solid everywhere. They're not great, but they're pretty solid everywhere. I could see them getting out, Garoppolo leading a touchdown drive, and Dallas struggling, but this game, Dallas is just too good. They could put too many points on the board, and playing at home, this is a game where it could be 14-0 before anybody even blinks. You know, Cowboys waiting for this home playoff game. The NFC is more wide open. I can see the Niners doing it, but it's really risky. I see Dallas winning this game.
See, I had the Raiders at number 5 out of 6. San Francisco, maybe because I've got them on that big laminated sheet in the Fox Sports Radio studios going to the Super Bowl. They're my number one. 3-point spread on this one. Barely a home field advantage for the, you know, this big bad Cowboys squad. Yeah, I see that defensive front giving Dak Prescott fits, and you can't stop Deebo Samuel and Elijah Mitchell. You can only hope to contain
them. Deebo! Deebo! All right, so they're 6-5-4. The fourth most likely, and again, this is going to be a shocker, New England beating Buffalo. Yeah, you know, they've played twice this year. We just watched New England win that game where they threw 3 passes the entire night. It was embarrassing for the Bills. But the more I watched the Patriots the last few weeks, that looked like the game they peaked in. That looked like that was the peak performance of Belichick and the Patriots. We're going to win a game where we throw the ball 3 times. We find a way to do it. They're just too limited offensively. And the Bills are finding their offense. Their defense played great last week. It was a big get-well week against the Jets. Well, what week isn't a get-well week against the Jets? I mean, it happens that way. But for the Patriots, their last 4 games, they've lost 3 out of 4. The only game they've won was the rollover game against the Jaguars, and that doesn't really count because it's the Jaguars. They've struggled to score. Mac Jones has struggled. Oh, Mac Jones is better than Tom Brady. They're too limited. And if I thought they could score more points, Buffalo's offense is still going to be working at a bit of a high level. They figured things out with Devin Singletary being their lead running back now. Clearly the Patriots can do it. And if they put the Bills on their heels with a touchdown drive to open the game, suddenly things can change. But there you go. So that's my fourth most likely upset, are the Patriots over the Bills.
Yeah, this is a curiosity, right? Because weather-wise, we could be looking at maybe a little bit of a throwback to that miserable game before. But the name you said towards the end of your monologuing there in Devin Singletary is the key to this. Suddenly, they've decided to rely on him. And we talked about it all during the year, you know, as much as he was dismissed. Like, is he really getting an opportunity? Are they really trying to run the ball through him? Well, the last few weeks they have. He's got a 4-game scoring streak, and we're looking at a Saturday kickoff. Weather is 0, and then plus wind chill. So maybe you get the elements become an issue in the run game for New England with Damian Harris and Stevenson, and those guys can be a factor, but going to be an awful tall order to take down this Buffalo squad.
The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. If you're a valued customer, you deserve a simple gesture of appreciation from your credit card company. And that's why Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations, they do apply. All right, so now we're into the top 3. These are the top 3 upsets I could see happening more than the rest. And I know it sounds crazy, but I can see a big way in which Pittsburgh beats Kansas City. I know it sounds insane. It's a huge point spread, and the Steelers are limited. But the one thing I can tell you is the Steelers know who they are, and they're a team that's going to hold on to the football. They're going to have 25 play drives that still result in punts, but it doesn't matter because they're going to control the football. Their defense can control the field. And if you can stop Kansas City getting off to a big start, and clearly the Steelers are good enough defensively to do that, they can keep this a slugfest, and the Steelers can eke out a win. Listen, as much as the Chiefs have solved their problems, the Chiefs are still not the team they were a year ago, and if you stop them from getting out of the gate early, and look, that's a common theme in a lot of these games, but for the Chiefs, it's really there. Slowly, the Steelers can defensively impose their will on the game, and it doesn't matter if they're not putting points up. If they're keeping the ball away from the Chiefs, and stopping them from getting into a rhythm offensively, that's all they need to do. They control the football. Oh, yeah, I could see the Steelers pulling this upset.
Kansas City bludgeoned them earlier this season, 36-10, your final. That was back in, well, late December, so not too long ago. Mahomes, 258-3 in that one. Really comes down to efficiency with Najee Harris early. Can they get him a little bit of daylight as a runner, as one of the many, many screen passes that are thrown in? What do you have, 75 receptions or something this year? At or beyond the line of scrimmage? Because Ben Roethlisberger and all his, hey, we're going to go have some fun, and we know, what are we, 20-point underdogs, like all of that, sell, sell, sell. They know they're playing with house money. Like, some might think that's all just a line and whatever. No, they recognize how they got in, right? You saw the video from the other night when they were watching the game live. His reaction was just a chuckle. Like, okay, I guess we still have football to play. Holy crap. So let's go. So it's one of those kind of things for the Steelers. They played their way in. You've got some explosive options. And this is one where I think whatever you put into the playbook as a maybe at some point we've got some gadgetry and creativity with our end around, wide receiver pass opportunities, certainly not anywhere near the vicinity of Ben Roethlisberger, but he's known to want to chip a guy, so he'll give you a little extra time to get a throw off. You're going to empty it. And one of those hits, and all of a sudden you got some chaos, and good luck stopping Watt right now.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. All right, so now to the number two and number one. Number two, I'm just going to say, because I'm going to have more on this later on in the week as we break this down, but I really like the Eagles. I think the Eagles can win this game. I'm telling you, man, Tampa Bay is not the same team as they were a year ago. They're not going into the playoffs the same part. Philadelphia can control the football. Jalen Hurts can cause a lot of problems. Tampa Bay's got issues, man. They got issues at wide receiver. They got issues at running back. I don't know how easy it's going to be for Brady to just go up and down the field on them. The Eagles' defense, the run defense is really good. This may be the big shocker of the weekend. Well, look at the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, and then the Eagles left to commit to Jalen Hurts. Then left no. Boy, we don't like Jalen Hurts at all, but we got to keep him after he beat Tampa Bay. But do we really have to keep him? We can still trade him, right, if we want to. Nah, I really sneakily like the Eagles this week. I know I sound crazy, but it's not the Tampa Bay is just not the same team for me right now.
No, look, everything's on the table. It's a one game, and one win and succeed and proceed, right? And for one day, if Sirianni and company can get the run game going, right, you've got three running backs plus Jalen Hurts that can get after it. Dallas Goedert, I've seen all the articles comparing him to a young Gronk and all of those kind of things. You know, you're just reaching for stories at this point. But for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Lavonte David and Leonard Fournette are back at practice. And Vita Vea, this one's on you, buddy. You and that, if there was ever a matchup that you come into the playoffs going, all right, this is why we just paid you a lot of money. Go to work. Eat space like Vince Wilfork did all those years, even when he was wearing those cool overalls. So, yeah, I'm going to go the other way. This was one of my least likely games. But, look, we like chaos theory. I'll put a six-team underdog parlay in for the show. We'll see what happens.
And the number one game is the least – because this game is a toss-up because of the way both teams are playing, the way both teams are dealing with injuries. Look, the Rams had to sign Eric Weddle today. I mean, the guy's 64 years old, and he's coming back to play safety this weekend, right?
But we know he'll play some reps. You know? We'll see how many snaps he gets. But, yeah, it was the shocker headline of the morning.
Yeah, I mean, look at that desperation. I mean, I remember Eric Weddle getting run over by Sean Green in the playoffs back in 2010. Look, the Cardinals dealing with injuries of their own. You know, they're getting J.J. Watt back, but no DeAndre Hopkins. This game is a toss-up. As much as, hey, I like the Rams, and boy, I felt good about them getting the NFC Championship game. Rams can win this game. Rams can go home. I mean, so if you're talking about the likelihood of upsets, the one that's most likely, yeah, because that game is not real. I mean, the Rams are favored, but that is completely a toss-up between those two teams.
Yeah, I think the reemergence of James Conner changes the complexion of things. And that what we've seen with the Rams all year, if you're willing to go and just bludgeon them, you'll beat them because you can run on them. Going all the way back to week one in Chicago when Chicago came to SoFi, They ran the ball well, and teams have done that all season long, and you've seen them get beat up time and again. So don't get cute. Kyler Murray will have his plays. He'll have some opportunities, but James Conner has been fantastic. One of the stories of the year, particularly at a running back position that has been just such a mess. And with the thought that he would be just a, you know, part of a platoon with Chase Edmonds, but he's been fantastic. And around the goal line, forget about it.
Mm. Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. The Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. So there you go. I can see all the teams winning, but there's our list from least likely to most likely. Yeah, we'll have more on that Eagles-Bucks game coming up throughout the week. Yeah, it's exciting right there.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover exceptionally common sense. Right now, Brooklyn all over the Bulls. Now they really are all over the Bulls. 92-77, 3.5 to go in the third. Still a lot of time left. The Nets looking for their first signature win of the season because all they've done is beat really bad teams. We'll have more on this game coming up next hour. But right now, I want a party like Joe Judge. Now, the day after he gets let go as Giants head coach, TMZ has video of 9 pizzas and all kinds of beer getting delivered to Joe Judge's house for a rager to just hang out and maybe decompress over getting fired by the New York Giants. That's the party I want to be at, man. Because, you know, if you need to decompress, there's way worse ways to do it than with pizza and beer.
Yeah, I mean, I think he will see if someone else brings in the harder stuff. And when you got them still on the hook for another $15 million, and maybe there's a settlement where you don't get the full 15. But either way, you can afford better pizza.
Well, where's the pizza from? Can you see where the pizza's from? I mean, I can see that he's got a lot of Michelob Ultra and Coors Light getting delivered.
That's problem number one.
Hey, wait. Now, the Bullet was my beer. There was no slowing down with the Silver Bullet tonight. They told me that back in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, the water was good. But I thought the pizza looked like it might have been, you know, one of those, hey, here's, you know, for $5.50. I'll just leave it at that.
Little Caesars pizzas.
I wasn't want to name names. They just raised their prices. It's no longer $5, so people are pissed. Like, inflation hit my cheap pizza, too. Jerks. But, you know, I mean, look, you got a giant pile of cash. I mean, I do like the fact that this guy's got the dolly to bring it up.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's when you know the party's over here.
Yeah. It's a big dolly of beer, and there's a lot of Michelob Ultra on that.
Oh, no, yeah. I remember big cases there.
I had my Michelob Ultra phase like back in the early 2000s where it was, this beer only has, 13 carbohydrates in it. So it's like a healthy beer. It's like, it was an ingenious marketing scheme. Hey, you want to drink beer? You know, hey, you want to watch your weight and worry about carbs? Hey, Michelob Ultra, that's the way to go. Oh, they don't have any carbs in that beer. I can have as many as I want. That's an ingenious marketing campaign. Then I realized, I'm kind of done with Michelob Ultra.
And had a good run, short-lived, but still obviously available in mass quantities.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good for him. Look, celebrate, you know, and look, you got a couple of years as a head coach. You know, we talk about it all the time. It's 1 of 32. So whenever anybody says, well, this job's not desirable, it's like, I think you could find some positives, not just the paycheck. Because certainly if you're a collegiate coach, you're looking around going, how do I get that $95 million Mel Tucker special? But, you know, if you're in the NFL, I mean, you've made it. You know, theoretically, that was the dream of your coaching ambitions. And even if it didn't go well, you still got a shot to build a program. And obviously, this was dysfunctional all around. And we've talked about it a lot. It goes back to the Saquon Barkley starter kit to everything. As much as you may have liked him, you know, trying to build your team that way, you know, it certainly is an antiquated type of situation, especially when you look at the quarterbacks that were available to you. Well, late, you could have traded back in and found yourself Lamar Jackson if you really wanted to. If you really, you know, were stuck on drafting Saquon Barkley, you still had opportunities to come back. But for Joe Judge, yeah, let's laugh it up, man. Good for him. You celebrate the hell out of
it. Stonehenge are the New York Giants. And I also like, oh, by the way, that he still got his Christmas decorations out.
Hey,
he still got the big Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, Happy. Because it's the middle of January. You got to have your stuff down by now.
Screw that. Celebrate all year long. Good for you, Joe Judge. The guy just got fired. Okay? You think that's the first thing on his mind coming down the stretch after everything that's gone on over the last couple of weeks? The first thing is, I better get the tinsel down.
The Christmas season ended before he got fired. You have to do your neighborhood as solid and not look like, what am I doing? I got my Christmas decorations.
Christmas season technically ended on the 9th, right?
Yep.
So he extended a couple of days. And you know what? That's too bad. You know, he's festive. Deal with it.
Okay, but go to Valentine's Day. Go to Valentine's Day now.
I hope he does.
Christmas.
Leave it up all year
over.
Long. Christmas. Over. Hey, if every day were like just like Christmas, what a wonderful world it would be.
Coming up next, another big story out of the NFL, Fox.